Welcome to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you. Welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff, Episode 7, Season 2. Great to be back in your ears. I'm Leonie Canham.
I'm Christy O'Brien.
And I'm Katrina Myers.
How are you, girls? Great to see you.
It's always lovely to be here. Hello, everybody.
Nice to be back chatting after our last episode a fortnight ago where we chatted about friendship. I don't know about you girls, but I've had lots of beautiful messages and people reaching out and making contact via our socials and over the text just to say they really enjoyed that conversation and can we have more of it. I even had one girlfriend who touched base and said, can you take that on the road?
Oh, really?
Ooh, so there's that idea.
Wow. So there's a thought. That would be fun.
She lives somewhere like Stings on the wall.
She lives near Ballarat, so not warm, but you could call it exotic.
And it's funny, I found myself having so many conversations with people about that conversation, like within hours of us having that chat, and since then it's been really, really profound and really timely, I think, for a lot of people as we discussed.
Yeah, and I think there's just so much more we could have said about it, and lots of people too that suggested we chat again about kids and friendship and that sort of thing too, which is a whole other topic. But maybe we can add that to the list for down the track. But for today, we are going to be chatting about balance, which is an interesting word, and it could bring up lots of things for us all. It might trigger different responses depending on where you're at in life and how balanced your life is feeling. But I think we have had conversations around balance many times in the past and probably always come to the conclusion that it is quite an elusive thing to achieve. The whole idea of work-life balance probably doesn't exist so much. And it's, I guess, unrealistic to think that in every moment of every day that we are going to feel balanced. There'll be moments when we don't feel that way, and that's okay too. But we thought we would chat today a little bit about, you know, where we're at in our own lives and how we're feeling, and when we are feeling a little bit out of kilter, what we do to try and achieve that balance and bring it back into our days and our moments. So we might kick off with you, Christy. Are you happy to kick off on how you see the issue? How balanced are you feeling? That's probably a really silly question to ask you right now, given you're sitting in Tassie and you've just done this amazing trek.
I have. It's been amazing, actually. Three days off the grid in northeast Tasmania. I just did the Bay of Fires walk with my husband, and it was incredible. I literally turned my phone onto airplane mode and didn't turn it. I turned it on to take some photos on the first day because I'm a bit of a sunset, sunrise type person to take photos. And I didn't turn it on again until Wednesday night, which was incredible just to be off the grid. I mean, there was phone service, unfortunately, but I just sort of pretended that there wasn't. I think you sort of understand what that balance is or isn't when you do take yourself completely off the grid. And like, it took the first 24 hours, if not more, for the people in the group. We were hiking with about 8 other people. And then we got to this lodge on the edge of the world, they call it, and with other people as well. But it takes 24 hours to kind of recalibrate your system and not wondering what time's this and how are we going to get, how far is it to the next point and how many Ks, you know, because we're always, it's sort of an unconscious thing. We're always in that mode of what's next and what are we doing and when and how. And it just takes a little while to kind of switch that off, and you found yourself not caring as much about what time we were going and how far it was to the next point. And but it kind of made us realize that, and for us it was our first time away. We're actually away for a whole week. We're in Hobart for a conference now. The first time we've been away, the two of us, for a whole week since the kids were born, so almost, 19 years. For us, so I've had time away and Tori's had time away just to be together and and not feel like we should be at home. We're at a really sweet spot in our lives where it's a bit easier to have that time. It's been a long time coming as well, but I think as we've got older too, we've got that bit of breathing space. We've actually become more conscious of balance in our life. And I've been doing this yoga course, and Troy's been kind of playing a bit of golf, just carving out some time in busy life, work life, to sort of do things. And you're just better for it. Like, and we all know this stuff. Like, that's like eating well or getting enough sleep or, you know, like doing things that are good for you. You know they're good for you, but you just forget. So I think balance is a myth, but it doesn't mean it's not something you should strive for. You shouldn't strive for, you know, like that's probably the thing with me. And I was just reading in a newsletter this morning from Brooke McCallery from Slow Living, which I've always followed. She reminded me of tilting, which is sort of, you know, leaning into what you need to lean into. That's what balance is for me, because there are going to be times where your work's really busy or life is crazy with kids or things just pop up in your life that don't allow you to have that breathing space. So you've got to just tilt into where you can. But then when you have the chance to tilt back out away from that thing that has taken you, you have to just take the chance, kind of recalibrate, I suppose is the word. So I'm more about recalibrating than balance, I think, because balance is hard to attain. But as I said, doesn't mean you shouldn't.
Can I ask a question? What does balance look like?
For me?
You know, when we talk about this word balance though, what is it that we're trying? Is it a feeling? Is it what is it in your body, Chris, that when you're feeling balanced, what is it?
For me, it's definitely finding time for like things that actually bring, I suppose, well-being to my life. Like, you know, whether that's exercise or having time to eat well, having time to shop for good food, you know, because I just find if I don't have those things in my life, I feel out of balance, I suppose. That's one way of thinking about balance is you might not know what balance looks like, but you certainly know what not being in balance looks like or feels like.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it's time to actually do those things. And also doing them without feeling guilty. And like even for us to be awake this whole week, like I haven't once felt like, oh shit, I should be here or there or I'm missing out on that. And things always happen, you know, like always. But it's the first time, honestly, since our kids have been born that I actually feel like it's just the right time. I couldn't have done this a year or two ago and felt as relaxed and as balanced in, you know, talking marks, balanced. As I do now. So, and that's just something that's a continual work in progress. So, and even when we're on the walk, I said to Tori, I can't believe how good we feel right now, but imagine how good we're going to feel afterwards. You know, like it's kind of like, and I had a swim in the ocean like the other morning, and I just like the buzz you feel in your body after getting in cold water in this beautiful place, like I kind of find balance is like that for me. You can find things that make you feel good. You just hope that the residue of that feeling hangs around for a little while.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think, and I'll maybe throw to you, Chris, do you think that balance then looks different for everybody depending on what it is that, you know, that does bring them joy and that lights them up and what their values are? And, you know, balance to you or to Christy or to me, it would look different for all of us because there are different things that make us feel balanced.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's that. And also, like, you shouldn't compare, you know. And in this newsletter this morning that I was reading from Brooke McCallery, like, she talks about lowering the expectations around balance as around life as well. You know, like, everyone's life looks different and you can't go, oh, gosh, that looks amazing, because a lot of things look good on Instagram or on paper. But people can look calm on the outside and look like everything's swinging. But on the inside, I think balance is an inside job, actually. Definitely.
Uh-huh.
What do you think, Katrina?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting, actually. I was listening to, there's an excellent podcast, which we must mention. It's Sarah Wilson interviewed Marcus Buckingham, who's done a lot of research into this and like what the happiest women in the world are doing and all that kind of stuff. And I really like the way he explained this idea of, so if you think about what balance is and wanting to be in balance, it's like if you had every single aspect of your life and every single thing going perfectly, like your work and your relationships and everything was just perfect. He said, you know, you'd sort of just want to be like, no one move. Don't anybody move. Don't anybody breathe. you know, and it'd be this sort of almost like a stunned feeling. And he's like, actually, that's not really what we want. We don't actually want that sort of stuck, paused, super strict kind of thing. We want, actually, what we really want is to be in motion, to be moving, to be, you know, to be kind of like moving towards these things. And so his thing was actually like, the happiest women in the world are actually moving right away from this idea of balance. And I feel kind of conflicted about this because in some ways I think it's nice to be, like you said, Chris, like it's nice to have that aspiration. But he describes this tilting thing really as that they did a survey of the happiest. They went into the nurses in the in COVID, and they were, well, which ones are actually thriving and managing to still feel good during this, you know, situation. And what they were doing was that some of them were actually just, they were tilting towards these things that, you know, brought them charm, made them feel good, like, you know, lit them up, like, and moving 20% of your day more towards that, you know, and that was what was making them feel and be able to thrive. So it's like exactly what you said, Lee, like, what is our interpretation of what balance is, and have we got it, you know, the idea of it, and does it actually self-sabotage us a lot of the time? Because so many of us are like, well, I just want to be in balance. We don't really know what that actually is or how hard it is to achieve. And actually, maybe it's not what we really want. We just want to be, you know, feeling more, I guess, towards the charm things that we're doing in life and feeling a bit more lit up and having more space and feeling more calm. But we're never going to feel balanced 100% of the time. It's just not possible. Like, so maybe balance is actually the wrong word to be using entirely, and it's something else. It's like more of that. Yeah, it's a feeling. And so, yeah, I guess that's what, how I see balance. What about you, Lee? Like, how do you see it?
I think, like Christy said before too, I know it's much easier to describe the feeling of being out of balance than it is in it. And that's not a bad thing, because that's that trigger for you to know that you need to, I guess, examine the parts of your life that are feeling out of kilter. And that's a strategy that I have used for many, many years now, and I've talked about it before here on the podcast. And this is in my sister's whole life success planner, which I journal from every day and every night. And within that, she has these, it's like a life success grid and 9 areas or so of your life that are important to you. And it might be different for everyone, but a lot of them are the same. And it's things like parenting, and it's if you chunk them down, you know, well-being, your health, weight, appearance, meaningful work, intimacy and connection, parenting and home leadership, friendships, leisure, fun, experience. So all those, you kind of go through all those areas of your life, and it's looking at different times. And for me, it's sort of at the end of each week or at the beginning of each week, looking at what areas within that grid are feeling good and what areas are feeling like they need a little bit of attention to go into them. And it's kind of just rating almost out of 10 of where things are sitting. And if there are 7 or an 8, well, you know that things are going along well. But if there's an area in your life that you're sitting at a 2 or a 3, then that's where it just makes it really easy to, because sometimes when you're feeling out of balance, you can't work out what it is that's needing fixing and where to kind of concentrate your attention. But by doing this, for me anyway, it helps me so much to get clear on where the gaps are and where I'm falling down. And it might be around parenting for that week. I mightn't have felt like I've had enough kind of quality time and connection time with the kids. And so I need to really focus on, you know, putting effort into that area. And then because I do at the end of each day, then go back and look at it. And at the end of each week, I can kind of see those numbers lifting. And then I can actually feel, I know it's shifting within my body, but also when I'm looking at my journal each day and at the end of each week, I can actually see the difference and can see how it works, and how by just shifting that attention to a particular area of your life that feels a little bit out of kilter, you can swing it back again. But it's ever changing, and it doesn't mean because I've put the work into that area that week or that day and at the end of that day things feel good and things feel in balance, the next day is a whole new, you know, challenge again and a new experience. So I think yeah, it's not something that we should, I guess, put too much pressure on ourselves and think that we need to feel in balance each day. But as we all know, it's the small moments of life and, you know, moment by moment and hour by hour that make up the days, that make up the weeks, months, you know, years and life. So it is, again, coming back to that intentionality around how you live your days. And, yeah, yes, go, Katrina.
Yeah, well, I love the way that that brings your attention to all of those different areas, because it's something that I've been thinking about. I mean, I think about it a lot. And like, I think we did talk about it after the International Women's Day event that we had, and just really understanding the full picture of what's going on for people too, because I think you touched on it, Christy. There's this whole comparison thing that we have too. And we see these women often, you know, I've just been to the huddle on the weekend, and all these like super successful in the traditional sense women who have these, you know, incredible businesses, but it's very much just about how successful their businesses are. And I'm far more interested now in the full picture. And I think if we started having conferences, you know, presentations, all of these things where we actually explored the whole picture of what's going on for women and touched on all of these areas like you've just outlined, then it would help us all to move forward more, because I think we run the risk of there's probably, you know, and I'm like right onto all of this stuff, but there's probably a lot of women in that audience at that event looking at these incredible women going, you know, comparing themselves to them. I just want to be like them. But we don't get the full picture of what that really takes and at what cost and what's going on behind the scene. And I really think that we need to start having that broader conversation, and that will help us all. And maybe those women do have it completely all together behind the scenes, but let's just have that conversation. And it was really interesting when they were asked what their routines were. Well, I mean, and they might have had other routines that they didn't share, but for many of them, they didn't seem to actually have much in the way of routines. And, you know, I've sort of the opinion these days that like you really do, unless you've got some things in place, it's very hard to maintain, you know, like we know we're all working very hard on this stuff all the time to maintain any sense of calm, ease, flow. If you're not doing anything, can you manage to hold it all together, or what's it really like behind the scenes? So, and I don't know the answers to that for those women, but I just would love to explore that more, and not in a judgment way, but literally just in a way that helps us all to understand that bigger picture. And if it is a shit show, great, let's talk about it so that we can all say and make choices around, all right, well, to have these super successful businesses, we have to be prepared to make sacrifice in our family lives and our relationships and how we feel, you know, or, you know, can we work on those things so that we don't have that, you know? So I just think we need to have more broad conversations around this when we're having these events and when we're looking at these women, so that we can understand the full picture. And I reckon your sister's way of doing that is beautiful, to analyze all of those areas.
And I think too, like, it's a societal thing, and you know, about kind of framing what success looks like. I think that we talk about, you know, balance and mental health and looking after each other and vulnerability and celebrating success through challenge, but people aren't as open about it as they should be. You know, I think people, we kind of like the way it looks, and but we probably don't open up and talk about it as much as we should. And if we did, then it would be more acceptable to kind of be open and honest about challenges. I even think about things like parenting. Like, so many parents don't want to admit that, you know, their kids made a mistake or it's hard. You know, like, you often only hear all the good stuff, and, you know, and it's good to be positive too. Like, don't get me wrong, it's great to celebrate the successes, but I think we all gain more if we talk about the challenges as well, and how hard it is to kind of to get through and find that balance, or that kind of, you know, the good stuff in life. Because we all know that you can't celebrate the good stuff without the challenges to get there. You know what I mean? Like going on a holiday. Like, if you didn't work, then you wouldn't know what a holiday felt like. You know, like,
so true.
You know, our kids often say, I don't want to go back to school, I want to be on holidays. I go, well, if you're on holidays all the time, it wouldn't be a holiday. You know what I mean? So it's kind of that, you can't have the good without the challenges, but people often don't want to talk about it. It's kind of like they just want it to remain hidden.
And sometimes I think you've got to be, it takes that little bit of courage, doesn't it, and bravery to be the first one to go there. And I've noticed just in the last couple of weeks since we last chatted, and I mentioned to you girls too that I'd made the decision in this last 3 weeks to close the books at the Splendid Word just for the next 6 months to any new client work, and just focus on what we've got on our plate. The number of women who are running businesses, and, you know, big businesses and successful businesses, and have been in it for a long time, and women that are, you know, a little bit older than me, who've just been, it's been so amazing to then hear them say, you know, good on you. Like, you're at this stage, you've got young kids still, you're at this stage where, like, you need to make those calls, and I wish I had have done that, you know, when I was there, because let me tell you, you know, when those kids get a bit bigger and suddenly they're gone off your hands, things change again. And And it's also like then they've then spoken to me about burnout that they'd experienced in their business and in work, which I never knew about. And I'd never seen it. They'd never spoken of it at the time. But sometimes I know it's easier after the fact to talk about these things and to share them. But it's been interesting, the conversations that that's created. And that's been through me, you know, knowing that within and looking at my life and that life grid, that was an area that was just taking over and needed to be pulled back, and to try and achieve a bit more balance in other areas of life, that was the space that needed to be pulled back on. But I love that it then opens up that, I guess, that opportunity and that space for other women to speak about it too. But because I could very easily have not said anything.
100%, Lee, and it's inspirational to other women. And I think this is, again, the challenge that we have. Like, we are far more likely to celebrate. You know, we're all like, oh, that woman's amazing. When she's busting her balls, she's working her backside off, she's doing everything for everybody else, and we're all like, gosh, she's amazing, she's doing so well. Again, at what cost? Like, what is that costing that woman to be like that? Yet we're far less likely to pin up the woman who's maybe chosen, you know, even in this world, to be a stay-at-home mum, to just volunteer in the community. She's not super aspirational about her career or whatever. Like, we live in this world now where we're just solely focused on outward achievement and business success. And so I think it's then you get, and I've been a bit, one something that I really struggle with is you've got so many ideas and you want to do all these things and you say yes to things. And I've really had to learn to say no to things and to like stop going for the glory thing. And this has been a process over time. Tim's been an awesome support with this because he's much more regulated than I have in a lot of ways, and he's really good at saying, But Meg, you know, I was just talking about it with Meg again the other day, because I still have this massive tendency to just jump into things. And she was like, okay, so often we operate on this imaginary time, you know, and we sort of, we look to the future and we're like, oh, we can do this, we can do all these things. And then it comes around and we're like, oh my goodness, I just cannot fit that in, you know. And so you've always got to stop and go, okay, what if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? And what's the cost of that? And, you know, we just got to get better at celebrating that and celebrating the women who say no to things and who aren't putting themselves under so much pressure all the time, you know. And I think it's that, just that, yeah, like looking at, and of course it's wonderful to see those successes and to see these incredible women, like we do love that, and I think there's room for this, and it's so beautiful, Lee, that you've done this, and look at all of those older women with all of this life experience going, you are doing the right thing, you know. If just to have that is awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so true. And even, and when you're talking about celebrating, because when you do say no, it can be hard. It can, don't get me wrong, it definitely can be hard. But at the same time, and I've found that over the last 3 weeks, the number of inquiries, you know, whether it's phone calls, emails, whatever it may be, with clients coming in, you know, needing quotes for new projects, et cetera. And straight away, I'm just saying, look, I need to stop you there. And I've been so clear that for the next 6 months we're not taking on any new projects, and I'm not even feeling the need to apologise or to say sorry, which, you know, maybe once upon a time I would have. It's just that at the moment we're at capacity and we can't take any more on. And they have, everyone that I've spoken to that we haven't been able to help, they have been so supportive. There hasn't been one negative thing from anyone. And, you know, some of these might be clients that I've worked with at different times, but just at the moment not taking on any new projects. And they're pretty much saying, yep, we'll touch base again in 6 months. Just haven't copped any negativity, any flack. Everyone's been so supportive. And in the moment when I hang up that phone or, you know, finish chatting to someone, I just feel so light. The feeling that comes from saying no and holding strong and tight to those boundaries is just one of the most amazing feelings. You feel,
and
like
I think
that's
balance right there, Lee. Like, for me, sorry to interrupt, but that's what balance is, you know. That's, and you might not kind of think about it like that, but that's exactly what balance is. And I really like to ask you both, like, Lee, when you look at your, like, reflect on the week and which boxes you sort of have been ticking or not, what do you do to then recalibrate? Is it saying no to more things? Is it saying, right, I need to have 5 minutes extra a day to myself? And I was reading your, watching one of your videos online, Katrina, and you know, knowing that you're missing your sleep and meditation for the day, like it starts to have like an impact. You know, you look back and go, oh, that's why I'm feeling a bit off balance, you know. So I'd love to ask you both, what do you do and how long take to feel that recalibration? Like obviously for you, Lee, like that, what, just having the conversation and saying no instantly makes you feel better about the balance.
Yeah, you feel it. It's a physical response in your body in that situation for me, definitely. But then again, when I sit down at the end of the day and I go through that journal and I am reflecting on the day and, you know, planning for the next day, it's like it's instant. If for example, it was parenting that felt out of whack for me, and then and I knew that, so I was intentional about, you know, putting more effort into that space, and then an opportunity came up to go to a work thing that night, or a function, or even to go out for dinner or drinks with a friend or whatever it might be, I very clearly know that actually this week and this day, this is where my attention needs to go. So it's easy to make the decision. And then when I come to it at nighttime and reflect on that day, I'm a winner because I knew what I needed to do. And it's just such a great feeling. And on the days when I miss that journaling, and it doesn't happen often, I'm pretty, it is, you know, one of my real rituals every day, but there are days when I miss it and I don't have that same sense of, it's not a sense of achievement. It's just a lovely sense of,
control, but control's not the right word either.
Calm and peace are probably ways to explain it. That real sense of well-being across all of those areas, because you did something that made a difference. And it might be something small. It might mean that I spent an extra 15 minutes with one of the boys when I was putting them to bed, to lie on the bed and read a book with them, whereas instead of just a quick in and out, good night, and got to get back to doing the next thing. It's small stuff. It's those really small tweaks that you make in all those areas of your life. That's just one in parenting, but, you know, there's so many other things too that, yeah, that's how I know that it's making a difference.
You know, it's so interesting listening to you talk, Billy, and I think, Christy, one of the things is that it's like living consciously as well, though. Like, you know, we all have a very conscious way of approaching our lives. We have sort of set things that we do. We think about our well-being a lot, so we notice when things are off kilter. So I think that's kind of crucial, is you've got to have this level of awareness and consciousness and practices in place so that you actually recognize quickly when things are off kilter and when you are, for probably want of a better term, as we're talking about, out of balance. You know, like, I think if you're living and you're in this kind of rush and go, go, go all the time and you've never experienced what it's like to actually feel still and at peace and have awareness, then you don't sort of even notice that it's happening. So I think really it's important to just sort of, but people get to this place at different points. Like some people reach burnout and they go, hang on a minute, I've really got to change. Or, you know, you can just start to introduce things yourself. But from a spiritual sense, you know, this is what the real feeling that I had doing this retreat and everything too, is that coming back home, coming inwards, coming into self, and just knowing in any moment that you are at peace and you are at one, you can tap into that at any moment. It's actually all this external stuff that we do that keeps us so busy and keeps our minds so busy and keeps us out of whack. So there is this kind of spiritual coming into consciousness element to this too, which I think a lot of us are just completely out of touch with.
Can I ask you, Katrina, when you on the videos that you posted earlier in the week and you asked the question to your community about is there anybody out there who doesn't have any kind of ritual at all and who is just, you know, nailing life on a daily basis? Did you get any responses? Because I was so curious about the answer to that. And if those people exist, did anyone come back? And if they didn't, can we ask that question as well on our socials?
Oh, totally. I reckon, I was just thinking that, like, I'd love to do a little survey. So I didn't get anyone come back and say yes, but I'm sort of super calm and blissed out. I don't do anything. But I did get a few responses that said, no, I don't believe that you can have calm, balance, live consciously if you're not working on it. So I thought that was really interesting. And yeah, I mean, to answer your question, Chris, around like what I do, like you said, you know, for me, it really is just tapping back into those rituals, those routines that keep my life, and it ebbs and flows. So it doesn't mean that you just then, once you have these rituals and routines, that you're perfect all the time. It's not how it works. And Christy, to go back to what you said earlier, which I thought was really important to highlight to people, that it's this life seasons thing again. You know, you can't expect to have a newborn baby and your life's going to be harmonious and wonderful. And I think so many women are just like, I should be achieving all these things and doing all these things and keeping it all together. Like, again, this is that coming back to consciousness and awareness of where you're at and what stage you're in. And Christy, you're obviously in this beautiful stage now where you can, enjoy all of that leave. You've got the consciousness to realize that you need to step back a bit from work. I'm in this phase where I'm kind of trying to balance like wanting to do all of these things and then still coming back to, okay, no, just be, let it be. Like, it's that seasons of life and consciousness and awareness that is so crucial.
And I think too, for me, it's realizing like how little you need in your life to actually find that place of calm and peace as well. Like normally you feel 100%. like some people like they gotta fill their life with stuff or things or whatever. And I mean, I love doing things as well. But sometimes it's like even when we're away, we had to pack like a tiny bag with like three things we could take out to this, you know, remote place, leave all our possessions, like not possessions, but all our other stuff behind, you know. And you're kind of like, oh my God, like what if I don't have something that I need? You know what I mean? And I snuck in like a journal and a book because I can't go anywhere without a journal and a book. I'm like, I'm happy to carry it, but I have to take a book with me. And, you know, but you kind of realize when you're there, like you don't need a lot of stuff, you know, because all the stuff is just furniture, really, isn't it? You know, so all you need in life is, again, it's that inner peace and calm. And that can be amongst chaos. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, life can be chaotic, but you can still find that inner peace and calm if you know where to find it, you know, and how to find it. I think getting to that point is tricky because sometimes you have to have conversations. And I know I was talking to Tori recently about, you know, he'd been through a really busy phase in life. And I think when you're busy or someone in your life is busy, sometimes if you don't always, you know, act a certain way or respond in a way that we're proud of, you know, when we're under pressure, we often, you know, get angry or frustrated or we're just not present. And we had a conversation around that. And it's hard to have a conversation around that without being critical or kind of going, well, you're too busy and you're not helping with the washing or the, you know, whatever it might be. And it was a really good conversation because it's something we've been revisiting on a regular basis since that conversation. And I found it really hard to kind of have that conversation. I did. And but having it was actually so powerful. And I think as you get older, you learn to have those conversations without getting hysterical about it or cracking the shits completely, which is probably how I used to approach things in the past, which never works well. So, yeah, I just feel like you can only really get to that place, I think, when you've come through the chaos and you can kind of go, actually, you know, perhaps we can do this a little better by just finding the time. And Troy's been really responsive to that too, because sometimes it's like, well, no, I'm fine, like all good here, you know, like people aren't always good at acknowledging that things might not be as, you know, calm and peaceful as they can be. So it's a mature conversation to have, like we talked about the friendship conversation, you know, like sometimes it's hard to get to that space of vulnerability. Bloody hell, it's worth it.
Yeah, totally. Katrina, when you were talking before a little bit, obviously the three of us all, you know, working hard in this space, and we have been on this, you know, spiritual and I guess, you know, self-awareness journey for such a long time now, and living a really conscious and intentional life. There are many people out there who aren't living life in this way at all. And you sort of touched on that before. Have you ever, and I'd like both of you to answer if you can, have you ever had moments along the way since, you know, you did start on this kind of path where you've thought, I wonder, would it sometimes be easier if I didn't know about this stuff? For me, the answer is, I mean, I absolutely would not trade this for the world, and this is where you find the deep meaning in life, in living this way. But sometimes, you know, when there's so much going on, and like if you sit in your own silence and you're meditating, and you know, when you know about all this stuff, it can be a lot to carry at times. Do you ever have those days where you think, I wonder if I didn't know about any of this and I was just cruising along on autopilot like we perhaps were before this? What would our lives look like by now? And two, would it be easier?
Okay, so I think ignorance is not bliss. You know, I probably thought ignorance was bliss, you know. But I know for me, yes, it can make things a little bit like you feel things more And you, because once you know better, you're kind of obligated to do better.
True.
Because you want to. But I, like, since I've been meditating, for example, like, I cope so much better with situations. I'm present more, so I can be more. And life is just, when you live life at a higher grade, like high grade living, which is, you know, what Jack talks about from the broad place, high grade living. She's got this amazing book, which I'll put in the show notes. It is just a Bible. I think you've got a copy of that, haven't you, Lee?
I don't have that one.
Oh. Have you got a copy of that, Katrina?
Yeah, yes, I've got it, yes. Just got it recently, it's actually. Amazing. I love it.
I'll have to get you a copy for your birthday next year, Lee. You'll have to wait a whole year. Yeah, so she's got this book called Higher Grade Living, or High Grade Living, and that's what it is, you know, like living life at a higher grade, higher level, or however you want to look at it, is hard work and you have to continually work at it, but it's so much more rewarding. Like that's how I would kind of answer that.
Yes, great
what about
answer.
You, Katrina?
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to say, like, would you ever go back? And the answer, it was 100% no. Like, I'm so glad that I discovered this stuff and that, like, I just would never want to go back to living how it was before. Sometimes I do think, like, you know, there's moments where I gosh, it might be easier in some ways. But then as Meg and I always say, it's hard either way. Like,
yeah.
It's hard if you're not doing the work because your life's just a little bit shit. Or, you know, out of control, or, you know, there's probably all sorts of, like, you know, who knows how that's manifesting for you. But when you are doing the work is hard and it's deep and it's, like, full on, but the outward life reward, the inward reward, like, just the way you feel is so, so worth it. So it does go back to what we were saying about, like, can you live a big, full life and thriving if you're not, I guess, like, I would probably say no. I mean, I would love to know if there's anyone out there who's, because I guess you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So if you're living unconsciously and you're not doing the high grade living and you're not meditating, you're not doing all the things, like, you probably don't know. So
that's what I mean.
Yeah. So, because I didn't know. I had no idea before I discovered the work as such and the meditating and the doing all the things. Like, but, and so you only know once you start, don't you? You've got something to compare it to as well, don't
that's
you?
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's such an interesting question.
Well, it comes,
yes.
And it comes back to that, like, you can't have holidays without working or, you know, going to school. So it's kind of like you need to know one to recognize the other.
Yeah, or joy without sorrow. You wouldn't know joy if we didn't have sorrow. It's a similar type of thing, isn't it? You don't know what it's like to live consciously if you've never lived unconsciously, and vice versa.
I love that. We've just gone down a rabbit hole.
I love that question, though.
And just the contrast, you know, like, I say, and I was just, it just reminded me of, like, you know, when we were, I was thinking before about, like, what I've been loving, and it's pretty easy for me to find something this week. But just the contrast too of kind of where we've been and what we've come back to. Like, you know, we got in the car the other night after finishing this hike in the middle of the Tasmania wilderness, and we put the radio on, and it was kind of like, it just sounded so, like, weird. I'm like, what is that? Like, because we hadn't had any noise other than the ocean.
Yes.
And the birds and there was, yes, there was people there. So it was, we had interaction, but it was on a level that I think for us, even though I love being in nature, but it's always just little snippets here and there, but to be fully immersed, like, come back to the land of the living, like, the contrast was just incredible. But you couldn't have had that without kind of knowing what civilization feels like and the hustle, you know, like, the, you know, we came back into the city of Launceston, which is not a big place, and we just kind of moved from seeing traffic and houses and stuff, you know. It was just, and now I'm sitting in a hotel room with no windows and I can't breathe properly. You know, it's just, life is full of contrast, and I think that's what balance is for me, which is kind of a weird kind of way of framing it, but that's how I see it.
And I'm thinking even sort of further to that question, like, I'll use my husband as an example. I'm sure Craig won't mind that. By osmosis, knows about all of this stuff because of the way I live my life. But he doesn't meditate and journal and, you know, do a lot of, like, he's got obviously things that he loves to do as well. But I wouldn't say that he's, you know, on a deeply spiritual journey. But he is living a really fulfilled and wonderful life as well, and gets joy out of all the same things that I do. But certainly doesn't spend the time examining, you know, that self-inquiry like I would. And, you know, there are times when I look at him and he's sitting, you know, just sitting outside and gazing out to the trees or whatever, and I'll say, what are you thinking about right now? And I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but I would say he does that circus carnival song. It's just that's what's happening inside his head. And it just makes me so happy because I look at him and just think, oh, my goodness, I would love that to be happening in my head right now. You come and sit in mine for a moment. There's certainly not the circus song going through my head. But it's just such a good example of, maybe we don't and that kind of journey and that self-discovery journey is different for all of us, isn't it? And for some it's like we talk about all of those things that we do, but not everyone does it that deeply or that way, but they still can live a really fulfilled and happy, joyful life as well. So, it's an interesting question.
Yeah, and I would say Tim is exactly the same.
And I think some people...
Sorry, Chris. Yeah, like Tim's that too. He doesn't have any deeply spiritual practices. However, he's... And maybe it's because we're thrivingly.
Maybe.
Maybe it's because we're doing all the work, so it's rubbing off on him. I don't know. Tim's always had that. I think what I always say is he's got that sort of... clarity of thought. Like he doesn't overthink things. He does it and maybe Craig's the same, where it's like that. Yeah. Whereas I'm same as you, busy mind without having to do all the work. So yeah, I think you're right. It's a good point. Like you can tap into that in different ways with different people. And it's just what that is to you as well, I guess.
So we better
move on to what we're loving. Chris, you sort of said what you're loving.
And
or did you want to say something else there, Chris? Sorry.
Yeah, and I just wanted to finish that little snippet of conversation around. I think some people do the work and have the routines without kind of it being a conscious thing, like without writing it down and saying, I'm going to meditate. Yep. They might have their own form of meditation, that works for them. And, but it's not as intentional,
I suppose is the word.
And that's okay. And I think that's probably a bloke thing without being general. They kind of just go, I'll go and play golf and that's my meditation, or I'll sit down in front of the television and not really watch it. Like that's, some people's form of meditation, whereas I'm like, it's just what rocks your boat, but you've got to find whatever it is. And there's no comparison. It's like to anyone else, like you find your bliss and your place for calm and peace and you got to make it work for you. Definitely.
Yeah, love it. Righto, Chris, you probably have shared a little bit about what you're loving this week, but do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, and I think it's just if you can, just allowing yourself that time, because it's always easy to find an excuse or reason why you shouldn't do this or do that or whatever. Like, just feel like even if it's only once a year, it's such important time to take for yourself or for you and your partner or you and your family, and it's really worth putting the time in. So I'm loving the fact that we actually gave ourselves that time to do what we're doing. And I'm loving yoga. I've just about finished my 12-week course and I taught yoga to some people up at the retreat. We got up at 6 a.m. and did yoga to the sunrise. It was just absolutely ridiculously insanely good. Like it was just, I actually stood on the balcony and cried a couple of times because it was just so moving. Like there haven't been many places I've been to in the world that have brought me to tears, particularly natural wonders. And that's probably the third time that's happened. I just stood and watched the sun that coming up and just it just brought me to tears. So that's
so special.
I'm
and you're now that friend, the musician that, that takes his guitar everywhere that everyone wants to come away with them because of what they can bring to the group. So you'll be offering the yogas every time we go away, which is so cool.
And speaking of music as well, another moment that brought me to tears, I had this artist in residence out there, this beautiful woman called Emily from Manchester, who plays the harp, right? So she was out there with this huge, big harp, and then she had a little harp that she carried on her back that she would go off walking and sit on a rock and play the harp. Like, it was ridiculous. And she's not like a traditional harp person. Like, she started playing the harp at 27, as a grown woman. But she does like contemporary music. Like she did this performance one night and this guy with her did the spoken word of Dancing in the Dark, Bruce Springsteen, one of my favorites, and she played the harp to it. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like I just could not believe it. I just had tears in my eyes just going, this is ridiculous. Like Yeah, so many levels and layers of what I've been loving, but that was like, she was a gift, and we got along really well, and I know that I'll see her again. I wanted to come to a Chicken Lover and play the harp. Like, I'm thinking, how can I make this happen?
our writers' festival. When are we doing that?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. She's coming for something. But yeah, just that sort of stuff as well. But yeah, it was a real gift to be able to share my yoga with, you know, with that in that space, but also with other people and a couple of the guides that were on the trip who were amazing as well. Like they did some yoga as well. And
so special.
So good. I'll stop banging
Katrina,
on about it.
I think I could guess what you're going to talk about now. What are you loving?
Do you know that I'm going to say the gym?
Oh, no, that's not what I was thinking.
Oh, what were you thinking?
I was thinking you were going to say the huddle.
Oh, yeah. I was tossing up between the huddle and the gym, so I'll say both of those things. I absolutely loved the huddle. Went to the huddle in Orange on the weekend. Some of you may have heard of it. It's like jumbled, organised, this incredible event. 700 women on the Sunday session. Like, you know, Kip and Co.
What?
Yeah, 700 women. And the speakers like Kip and Co,
that's
The Grace Tales, Three Birds Renovating, Digital Picnic. Like, so many awesome speakers. Just so fun. So great to be in that vibe. Absolutely loved it. I did love that. Also, I'm loving that Rach has opened her gym in town and it's so fun. Like, this morning I went to 6 o'clock class and then I had a smoothie and I drove home and the sun was coming up. And a bit like you, Chris, like, I'm such a sunset, sunrise person. It's just like, it just felt so good. And the gym is just, and I'm just so proud of Rach. Like, so much work has gone into it. And it's like her dream to have this gym and it's all coming to fruition and it's just so beautiful. That's it from Mele. Your turn.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I have not been trekking in Tasmania or huddling anything exciting like that this week, but I have been doing lots of work and lots of other lovely voluntary things each night. It's been a really busy week in a really good way. But there was a podcast episode that I listened to, the most recent one of The Imperfects with Emma Murray, who is a high performance mindset coach, mother of four, of four kids.
Yeah,
she works with the Richmond Footy Club. I have followed her for a while and listened to her a few times, but this episode was really about how mindfulness does actually work. And it was just so helpful and so practical. The analogy she uses about this red ball and the energy and just that kind of soul focus and being in that present moment. And she shares a lot about her journey with her son who suffered a spinal cord injury back when he was 13. He's now 20, I think. But he had jumped off a pier into the ocean and suffered a spinal cord injury. So he's now wheelchair bound for the rest of his life. But she shared a lot about what that was like at the time when he was in intensive care and how, as a mother, she was able to approach that conversation and that moment of telling her 13-year-old son that he wouldn't walk again. And she spoke very much about, it's so hard to imagine that moment and how she says the way she got through it was by not thinking forward and by not kind of looking back, because looking back, you're realizing everything that he's lost, and looking forward, there's all the fears around what's his life going to look like and so forth. So she just sunk into that present moment, and she talks just about how important mindfulness is in helping us be in that present moment, because when you can be in the here and the now, all those other things don't matter so much. So she was able to, in that moment, say, I'm okay and everything's okay and I'm going in to have a conversation with my son. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm having a conversation and I can do that. I can do the conversation. And it's so incredibly powerful, and I encourage everyone to have a listen to that. But she doesn't just talk about that. She talks a lot about her work with high-performance athletes as well, and just how practically we can use mindfulness in our lives to just come back to this present moment. And I know I've used it this week because I have had a lot on with work and things, you know, all in the evening, lots of things just running from one thing to the next with kids, and feeling a little bit overwhelmed at the start of the week because I don't want it to be quite so full, but I just knew this week it was that way and I couldn't do much about it. So just really practicing mindfulness and really chunking down into each thing that I was doing, rather than looking ahead at the whole week and everything I had to get done and feeling overwhelmed by it. I was so conscious to just chunk it down to each moment and doing each thing. And I enjoyed every single thing I did so much. There wasn't any overwhelm. I didn't feel that. I just, and after each thing and event that I went to, I had that moment where I hopped in the car to drive home from it, and it was just that, well done. Like, look how, like, you enjoyed that.
Look
like
you
that,
go.
That in another week, if I hadn't have even listened to that podcast to just remind myself of that skill and how important it is, I wouldn't have put it into practice for that week. And that's the power of these things, like books, podcasts, whatever it may be, conversations with other people that are on this kind of path. What a difference it can make to your life. So I highly recommend listening to that. We'll include that in the show notes too. Yes, Chris.
And I just love how those things just remind you about stuff, you know, like, because we often know this stuff, or we've heard of it, and you hear people say, oh, this is that good. And you're like, yeah, you know, but you kind of want and you're reminded to do it. Like, even when I was doing yoga with a few people that hadn't done it for years, they're like, I've just stopped doing it. And they do it and they go, oh, I forgot how bloody good this was. You know, like, it reminded me how good it is. So I'm going to start doing yoga again, like, you know, just once a week. And it's just those reminders. And I actually purchased one of Emma Murray's mindfulness for students. I think she does a program, from memory, it's for BCE students, so year 11 and 12. I bought it during COVID just to help our oldest kids kind of, I suppose, just give them some tools to kind of help be, you know, more mindful about what they were going through. And it's amazing. Her work is incredible, and her story is incredible too. So I'll definitely share the links to those things, because I feel like there's just not enough of that stuff. And we hear about it and we know about it, but we perhaps don't use it as often as we should. Or we can remind each other, or, you know, ourselves, just to kind of to tap into that, because it's like breathing. It's within us all the time. It's there. It's accessible. It's easy.
I know.
You just got to remember to do it.
Constantly be reminded. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. I think on that note, have we shared all that we love or we're loving this week?
I think so.
Also, Katrina, just happy birthday to
you, Lee, because it was your birthday last week. So,
thank you. Yeah, it was too. I had the most beautiful day. Yep. Very grateful for every year that we get to be here. Wouldn't miss it for the world. All right, great chat, girls. Thank you for all that you have shared. We will no doubt come up with another fun and amazing topic to talk about in a fortnight's time. We look forward to your feedback on balance. To you guys listening, let us know what works for you. Are you feeling balanced in your life, in your days, in your moments? And how do you go about keeping things in keel and feeling good and well? We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our next episode. So we'll talk to you then. Thanks, girls.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spreading the Good Stuff. It is so lovely to have your company here. If you enjoyed the show, we would absolutely love it if you hit the little arrow at the top of the podcast iTunes page there, or like it on Spotify, and also give us a rating. 5 would be fabulous. If it's not a 5 for you, then maybe just don't bother. That's okay. But if it is, we would love for you to help us spread the good stuff more by supporting us, and also tell your friends about it. We all know that word of mouth is the best way to learn about new things. Maybe share it on your socials, do a little screenshot of the podcast tile, whatever works for you. But we would just absolutely love it if you would help us spread the good stuff. Thanks, guys.